Chapter 3. We walked on and Stapleton changed the subject. I've lived on the moor for 2 years, he said. I love it. I'm very keen on wildlife and butterflies, and my knowledge has improved enormously. Over there is Grimpen Mire. He pointed at a dark green area. It's very wet. If you stand on it, you'll sink into it and drown. There's no escape. I saw a horse drown there yesterday. Keep away from that place. I was about to reply when we suddenly heard a deafening roar. The terrible sound came over the moor, and terrified birds flew up from the ground. What was that? I asked Stapleton. I'm not sure, he replied. I've heard it before. Maybe a large bird? That was too loud for a bird, I said. I really don't know, said Stapleton. He was calm and uninterested. We continued on our way. At Stapleton's house, Stapleton entered, and I saw his sister in the garden. She had a long neck and dark hair. She came close to me. Go back to London, she whispered. What? I said. I was shocked. Stapleton joined us. Oh, there you are, Beryl, he said to his sister. May I introduce Dr. Watson?
Dr. Watson?
She looked surprised.
Oh, I thought you were Sir Henry Baskerville.
Pleased to meet you, I said. Beryl looked embarrassed. Why did she want Sir Henry to go back to London? And why was this a secret? It was all rather strange. We entered the house and Beryl made tea for us. Would you like to come for dinner with Sir Henry this evening? Asked Stapleton. Thank you, I said. You're very kind. I had new facts to consider on my walk home. The roar over the moor, the horse drowning on Grimpen Mire, and Beryl's secret warning. I needed to write a report to Sherlock Holmes. I was lost in thought on the path to Baskerville Hall when I turned a corner and was surprised to see Beryl Stapleton in front of me. She must know a quicker path, I thought.
Dr. Watson, she said, please forget what I said.
But why do you want Sir Henry to go back to London? I asked.
I'm scared of the hound, she replied. My brother doesn't believe in it, but I do. My brother wants Sir Henry to live in Baskerville Hall, but he must leave. He must return to London.
Before I could reply, Beryl turned and ran back to her house. What could it mean? That evening, we had dinner with the Stapletons, and I noticed that Sir Henry paid Beryl a lot of attention. We visited again the next day, and Stapleton introduced us to Mr. Frankland. He was an elderly man. He was rather miserable, and he lived on the moor all his life. Back at Baskerville Hall, I wanted to know more about the Barrymores. Mrs. Barrymore cried all the time, and Mr. Barrymore was silent. Did they have something to hide? Sir Henry had new clothes from London, so he gave his old ones to Barrymore. But Barrymore was not at all grateful. One night, I heard footsteps outside my room. I was immediately awake. I opened the door and saw Barrymore hurrying away. I silently followed him, and he entered a bedroom. I could see him by the window with a candle. I didn't make a sound, but went quietly back to my bed. The next morning, I asked Sir Henry, "Did you hear footsteps last night?"
"Yes," said Sir Henry. "It's Barrymore," I said. "Tonight, let's follow him together," said Sir Henry. "We'll find out what he is trying to do."
That night we waited in my room until we heard Barrymore's footsteps. Then we quietly followed him at a distance. He went into the same bedroom as before with his candle. Sir Henry approached Barrymore and asked him directly,
"What are you doing, Barrymore?"
Barrymore said nothing.
"Are you sending a sign to someone outside?"
Sir Henry asked.
"Oh, sir," said Barrymore. "It's my wife's younger brother, Selden. He escaped from prison and came to her. He has no food, and it upsets her so. We couldn't refuse. We leave food for him, and when he sees the candle, he comes to get it."
"So that explains why your wife cries," I said. Barrymore said nothing.
"Come on," said Sir Henry. "He's an escaped prisoner. We'll get him."
We ran outside, but there was nobody there. We only found a candle, but as we turned back to the house,
I saw a tall, thin gentleman in expensive clothes. He looked at me briefly, but then he was gone.